Hi there again. We are in Generational Leadership, and we're going to go on to chapter 9 in the book, which is a foundation of a 100-year plan. In the workbook, this is on page 25. As I mentioned earlier, there's a couple of pages in the workbook there that we're not covering in the video audio teaching here, but they are outlined there to give you some details on God as a shield, the masculine nature, and God as the many-breasted one, the feminine nature, and how that is revealed in a husband and wife relationship and in the church, that those attributes of Adam and Eve must be seen to release life, to be activated, facilitated, and released, and to activate, facilitate, and release. Or shall we say, to activate in order to be activated, to facilitate in order to be facilitated, and to release in order to be released. Now, on page 25 of your workbook, we're going to deal with a 100-year plan. And this is very important because the issue of being fruitful, multiplying, filling, subduing, and having dominion is really a multi-generational mandate. You can't be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, and have dominion just in a lifetime. It's the mark of a family destiny, because it's meant to change things in the earth. And so in the 100-year plan, on page 25 of your workbook, who possesses the gates? Who possesses the gates? Ephesians 1:3, our blessed Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It says, in every spiritual blessing, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's not just in heaven to come, but there's something in the heavenly dimension that brings a blessing into our world so that we can be a blessing. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul writes that we wrestle against some things. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked powers in heavenly places. And so there's a spiritual reality of that. We can read the book of Daniel, and we can see that Daniel, when he had come to the end of 70 years of captivity, he and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were praying. They had discerned that the 70 years were over, and they were praying concerning what God said would be the end of the captivity for the children of Israel. And God sent the answer to Daniel, but it was resisted by a principality. And so Michael had to come and war against that principality. So there are things in the realm of the heavenly dimensions that we do not see naturally that are clearly spiritual powers. But when Paul says we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers, and hosts of wickedness, he puts it in the context of we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, which means when we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers, and hosts of wickedness, it always is in a flesh and blood package. It always influences flesh and blood. And so it can appear that we're dealing with people. Matter of fact, the earth is not under the dominion of principalities, powers, rulers, and hosts of wickedness. It's under the dominion of man. According to Psalms 8, God gave mankind dominion over the works of his hands. But when spiritual powers manipulate, deceive, or influence humanity to come in agreement with lies and deceptions, then those principalities, powers, rulers, and influencing hosts of wickedness influence the actions, the beliefs, the actions, and the imaginations, and the influence of people. And so I'm going to change these words in this, what we wrestle against, to belief, action, imagination, and influence. So the future of the world is determined by who possesses the gates. A gate is an influencing place. And that gate means to occupy. It's a primitive root to occupy. By driving out previous tenants and possessing in their place. By implication, to seize, to rob, to inherit. And so God wants us to inherit, to seize, to take hold of the places of influence. Whoever holds the gate influences the hearts and minds of people. Or whatever holds the hearts and minds of people is what holds the gates and what causes there to be an influence from the gates in heaven. So inheritance is determined by the gates of heaven. Who possesses the gates? Belief determines who possesses the gates. Beliefs are established in heavenly places. Beliefs produce actions. Actions produce imaginations. And imaginations produce influence. And so now we're going to break this down into a little illustration here for you so you can practically see this. And this is a breakdown of Ephesians 6:12. And so you have it in the workbook. There's a full page of it. And it's also in this PowerPoint. There's an illustration of it. So Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood," implying it comes in a flesh and blood package, "but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, I believe the heavenly places are in the human heart. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says concerning believers that God our Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So if we can find the spiritual blessings that come from our Father in heaven in the heavenly places, it can change what happens in our hearts as a result of heavenly places. If we don't find that place, then our hearts are affected by hosts of wickedness, and it affects our beliefs. And so in this chart that's laid out here, we have at the very top principality or ascending power. It influences others. And I'm using an illustration in this diagram of a controlling spirit. So we're going to say, we could take anything. We could take a spirit of fear. We could take a spirit of rejection. We could take a spirit of shame. I'm just saying a controlling spirit. We're going to call this a controlling spirit of some kind. We'll call it rejection. So this controlling spirit of rejection, ascending influence of rejection, is at the top. And it's influencing the atmosphere. It's having an effect in the world around you. It's having an effect on your family. It's having an effect on your neighbors, your neighborhood, your friends, even your enemies. And so there's ascending force, an influence of rejection. And it's happening because there is a power, which is an exousia, or an imagination, a propagation of influencing power in creative ways to implement the actions of the stronghold. So there's an imagination, a creative power of rejection. You're imagining, you're creating a further expansion of "I am rejected," and therefore that is giving a full force to this principality, this sending power, this influence of rejection. And that is seated on this action, rulers of darkness, a deacon of darkness, or a facilitator of darkness, something that acts upon this darkness of rejection. So the facilitation of actions seated upon the thrones of lies and deceptions. So there's actions of darkness, which are actions of rejection, promote creative imaginations or powers of rejection, which then promotes a greater influence outside of the atmosphere of my life of rejecting. But it's seated upon the very bottom here, which is the power of wickedness in high places, in heavenly places. Now, that's established by believing lies and deceptions. It can only be destroyed by believing truth and the spirit of truth. So when the word and the spirit come together, there's an understanding that abolishes a wrong understanding. When wisdom and knowledge, when the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, when the spirit of God and the truth of God's word come together in your heart, it destroys the lies of the enemy and the deceptions, the spirit of rejection is destroyed. But this original stronghold, this high place, in a heavenly place, this bottom one, is caused by something. So it can be caused by a traumatic event. I'm rejected. I'm not accepted. And it creates unreal expectations. I expect to be rejected. And so it could be as simple as your parents got divorced when you were 5 years old and you felt rejected. So you felt rejected. So you move from "I feel rejected" to believing "I am rejected." The way a spiritual power works is spiritual power is always after your "I am." It's okay to say "I feel rejected," but if you don't have a way to process that with God and His Word, "I feel rejected," where God can say, yes, you feel rejected, but you are not rejected. I am your Father, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my son. You are my daughter, and you, I am well pleased in you. So that spirit and truth has to be in your heart to create a right belief. If not, then you feel rejected. You move into, I am rejected. So you believe this lie, you believe this deception, and then you begin to act rejected. You sit differently in school. You don't hang around your friends the way you used to hang around your friends. You start feeling different, and then you begin to have dreams. You begin to dream they're going to reject you. Maybe you dream as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old, you dream that your pants fall down in the hallway of school and people are going to laugh at you. And you dream, and then you wet your bed because of your dream. And so you're feeling rejected. You believe you're rejected. You're acting rejected. And now you're moving into imagining you're rejected. And as you grow in years, you actually sabotage yourself. You actually reject others before you can be rejected. And you become someone who rejects. And that's how that spiritual world exists. But there's an antidote to it. There's a way to fix this, and it has to take a 100-year plan. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, before he rose into heaven, he says to his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." Not witnesses for me, but witnesses to me in Jerusalem. In other words, they will see something of me in you in Jerusalem. They will see something of me in you in all of Judea. And they will see something of me in you in Samaria. And they will see something of me in you to the end of the earth. And so there's four levels here. Some principle of your immediate place of influence. The next phase, Judea. The next level of influence, Samaria, the next level of influence, and finally all the earth, the ultimate influence. So it's just like these four levels of beliefs produce actions, actions produce influence, influence produces imagination, or hosts of wickedness produce actions, rules, and rule produces power, and power produces principality. Same thing. But this witness for is to be a martyr, or to have enough evidence to be the testimony of Christ. So these four levels of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Now, Jesus had confirmed this mandate before he rose into heaven. He gathered his disciples in Matthew 28. It's recorded in verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore." So he had said earlier, he said to the Jews who believed him, he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So all authority has been given to him. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So let's break this down in the mandate. What are the things that this 100-year commission, this multi-generational commission is to fulfill? We're talking about 100-year plan and the purpose of humanity. So the first thing was, go therefore make disciples of all nations, or put them under the discipline of God's grace. And the old covenant would be put them under the discipline of Torah, law, to become a temple society. But now we're to go and make disciples, put them under the influence of grace, so that they will become truth, a grace truth body. Put them under the discipline of God's grace. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That word baptizing means to submerge into something, to submerge, like a cucumber gets submerged in pickle juice to become a pickle. It gets submerged. So it isn't just water baptism here. The action, although it includes an action of submerging in water baptism as an act of faith, but the real issue is to submerge them into the character, nature, way, power, and authority of the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you, to follow me as I follow Christ. And then, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Lo, I'm with you. There's a physical manifestation of God with them every step of the way. So this is that 100 fold expression, that 100-year expression and influence. In Psalms 45, 10 through 12, he says, "Listen, daughter, don't miss a word. Forget your country, put your home behind you. Be here, the king is wild for you. Since he's your lord, adore him. Wedding gifts pour in from Tyre. Rich guests shower you with presents." And concerning the body of Christ in Psalms 45, 13, 15, "Her wedding dress is dazzling, lined with gold by weavers, and all her dresses and robes are woven with gold. She is led to the king, followed by her virgin companions, a procession of joy and laughter, a grand entrance to the king's palace." And then verse 16 and 17 of Psalms 45, "Set your mind now on sons. Don't dote on fathers and grandfathers." In other words, set your mind on a 100-year plan, on Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Set your mind on children and children's children. You are married to Jesus. Set your mind on being fruitful. Don't dote on fathers or grandfathers. You'll set your sons up as princes all over the earth. I'll make you famous for the generations. You'll be the talk of the town for a long, long time. What a great testimony this is, this 100-year plan. And then Psalms 127, verses 1 through 5. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain." So pastors, leaders, you are watchmen, but you are not the ones who build the house. You are not the one who causes it to come forth. The Lord builds the house, and you simply partner with him as part of the ecclesia to activate the ecclesia in a 100-year plan to see beliefs change, that changes actions, that changes influence, imagination, that changes influence. And so it's the Lord that does these things. "It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep." So be at peace, rest, sleep. God is the one who's doing this. You simply be an expression in this 100-year plan. God is changing beliefs. God is transforming the actions. God is transforming the imaginations. And God is changing the influence in the gates. The Lord is building his church. He'll give you the keys of the kingdom, like he said to Peter. You're a little rock, but it's on that huge rock of God's voice in our hearts. And then verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So we're going into a second generation, into a third generation. "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." And so the gate is the place of influence or the place of principality, but it changes by changing beliefs. So in one generation we live to receive the word and the spirit that creates a belief that tears down the strongholds of the lies and deceptions. And then we act on that. We live to multiply, live to be a blessing, we live to multiply, but then we live to give that multiplication value, as we've said before, to the next generation, and they act differently than we did because of what we brought into our family line of believing. And then their actions brought in a different thinking into the next generation, their imagination. The power of the next generation was a power of inheritance that thought differently, didn't believe the lies and deceptions, but further advanced the beliefs that had been restored to the spirit of truth and the word of truth given by God's grace. The actions then brought forth an imagination and an influence, and there were sons and sons' sons that were born until ultimately became an influence on the earth, and it changed the gate. It met the enemy in the gate. Psalms 127, pastor, leaders, take Psalms 127, meditate on that for a bit, and let that be your meditation, your anthem, your testimony, that you are not the one that is building it. God is, because he has a plan to change the earth. And that plan is a part of a 100-year plan, part of a multi-generational, just as God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Israel. He is also the God of Paul, the God of Timothy, the God of faithful men, and the God of others also. And what you're living for today will bear fruit tomorrow because of God's 100-year plan.